Welcome to another episode of Espresso Podcast. Our guest today is Karim. Karim contacted me when we first started, I think around episode 3 or 4 with
fourth
Ramo.
I think it was the fourth.
And I was shocked because it was, I was just starting. I was like, oh, I'm getting inquiries. Like, people want to be on the podcast. And I was excited. And I've been trying because I had a list of people. And I told you at the time, I had a list of people and I wanted to get done with them and then start taking their requests. Because their requests came like really shocking to me. and I'm still getting a few as well. It's just trying to fit in the entire thing throughout the day, like my schedule. So, Karim, it's the first time we meet.
Literally, by the way. So, like, it's this podcast, literally, you can say, is like a, like Karim getting to know you kind of session. But yeah.
It's and vice versa. This is a second guest that I have that I have no clue who they are.
A lot to unpack.
So go ahead.
So, Awalshi, like, thanks for having me on the podcast. I think, look, I think, like, as we said, like, a bit earlier before we jumped on, which was, I was really intrigued, I think, by the, from the episode that I saw from Ramo. I was like, okay, this this content is really cool. It's where
it's,
I...
It's all because of Ramo.
Thank you, Ramo. yeah, so that's really the first part of it. The second part of it as well is that, yeah, I always feel like the whole podcasting industry, especially here in Dubai, it's growing, especially with the young and up-and-coming generation who have a message to send or to share.
The unheard voices, let's say.
The unheard voices of Dubai. Actually, okay, now that could be your next podcast. The next, the unheard voices of Dubai. But yeah, so that's really...
Trademark, guys, already. TM. Don't try.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what, man? I have my own podcast, but it hasn't really...
It's a very interesting one, by the
way. Very interesting one. It hasn't taken off quite well because it's been very on and off with work and stuff. So I haven't really had the time to do it. But whenever I get the chance to meet new people and talk about myself, not that I, you know, prove highly or I think of myself so highly, but I always feel like, you know, there is something unique about me that I do want to send out to the world. And I think we have a lot in common. From, you know, what I've learned about you in the past hour.
From what I told you, So we had a full conversation for the past hour while we set up all of this. The topic you actually mentioned is something... there's a lot of branches of this topic.
100%.
The older generations have disregarded this topic because I... don't know. I think it's just the the previous generation had the impression or had the, they imprinted their values and ideas as well on their kids. But our generation of parents could not do that with us. And that's where everything is getting unearthed, basically.
And a lot of new ways of thinking are is actually coming up now.
Yeah, we're becoming as well more aware of things that they weren't at the time. I think their life was more, and I've spoken about this before, and there's nothing about them to blame, let's say.
100%.
I think I mentioned it with Ramo. It's just the way they were brought up. Most of our parents were not expats at the time. They lived in their country. That's how their country's been running for decades, centuries, you know? But when you move into a country that's like Dubai, you're bound to expand your knowledge, expand your way of thinking. So the topic today is, I'll add drum rolls in post. For you, it's specific, but I think I want to make it more general, which is mental health.
No pressure.
This is how taboo it is.
Really?
Mental health in the Arab world.
Yeah.
Your topic is more about Arabs' mental health, which is also another topic that nobody looks at or people are oblivious to it.
100%. I think, as you saw, like, as you mentioned, like, I think for the longest time, our parents lived a certain way in which it was, I think...
It was suitable. It was comfortable.
Suitable, and at the time, that was the norm. I think now, as we're, I think we're a lot more curious than, like, I think than how our parents were at the time, where before I feel like things are a bit more transactional, they were a bit more, you know, basically you had to protect yourself a lot. You had to cover yourself a lot to basically not show people a lot of emotion or show people a lot of things. And I think this is a big difference now, is that today you have a very big group of young people, and even people who are in like their mid-30s and 40s, who are much more open and they're a lot more curious about this part of themselves, in which they feel like, you know what, it's good if we show emotion, it's good if we show that we're actually more human. Because if you look at really how we've grown up to be, or if you think about any bad or negative memory you might have, you wouldn't know how to make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, you would, even like maybe even up until high school, you would take it in, but you wouldn't do anything about it. You wouldn't know how to categorize it or how to frame it.
And I mentioned that, by the way.
Exactly.
Like the past hour, I was telling you, for example, the ADHD thing, it never occurred to me until I was seeing more and more things and I was becoming more aware of it. And I started tracing back things in my life.
Mm.
And the way we were brought up just made our brain go like, okay, maybe our parents are right. Maybe I'm this characteristic that they're putting on me, you know? You're just a hyper kid. That's it. You just don't like studying. You don't pay attention enough to
You're rebellious. Details.
Exactly, And then now I'm just looking back and I'm like, damn, all these things made sense. Like they make sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think I also have ADHD. So I relate to a lot of what
he's more on the diagnosed side. I'm still in the process.
But yeah, I mean, look, the thing is,
but I feel like he could have diagnosed me from
Honestly, I did, but I didn't want to tell you. I was like, I don't want to be this guy who comes in and like judges people. It's like, you have ADHD. I'm not a like licensed person. I don't have
But they say, it takes one to know one, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So I have a general idea, but akid everyone, you know, shows.
I called their it things. Before. Yeah. I mentioned it before. You may see or think that you have the symptoms, but you're just on a different spectrum.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I thing is what I hear a lot these days is a lot of people say, you know what, I have ADHD. And the first thing I ask them is like, but are you diagnosed? A lot of people say, no, I'm not. I'm like, okay, but how do you know that you have ADHD? And the thing is, what we've realized during COVID and even maybe just before COVID is on the internet, whenever you read, for example, you say, I'm feeling very distracted or I can't sit down or I can't focus.
Things start popping up more and more.
They tell you ADHD directly. But a lot of times it's just either you're not motivated or you're just in that moment.
That's it. Yeah.
And the thing is as well, I think this is why it's always so important to actually get
professional
support advice, exactly, because at the end of the day, they're able to actually guide you. So even by the way, with ADHD, there's a wide spectrum. It's not just one. There's a whole variation as to how it can look for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea of ADHD really, to me, links back to what we're talking about with family and the way our parents were brought up, because I think for a lot of parents, it's a bit of a taboo. It's like, my son or daughter
is perfectly fine.
They're perfectly fine. Although in the back of your mind, you know that they're thinking like, oh, this like my son's he's an idiot. Like he, not the smartest, whatever. He doesn't do very well. But I think with time, they're becoming a lot more aware because we're putting in all of these different efforts to actually
educate them again.
Yeah, educate them, because again, nothing is perfect in life.
I
truly believe this. You know, and it's time that people see that. Yeah. I don't mean to be negative, but, you know, a lot of times we need to also remember the fact that we are human as well. We also have our own conditions, and that's normal. That's what makes us who we are.
Yeah,
we can't all be robotic and the same.
Yeah. I think this is where the new generation calls it being woke.
Woke culture. it's what it started in America at first, and then it's grown here.
Yeah. But yeah, like a lot of families would just jump to like, no, my kid is fine. There's no reason to assume these things. But as I mentioned before we started this, I told you I was going through an exam, and I think this was brought up as well the other day on one of the episodes, or maybe behind the scenes, I can't remember. And I was telling the guest, I was like, guys, like legit, it's not about not liking studying. If the topic is interesting, I will read through it.
100%.
But if it's not getting through, I will start like my vision turns blurry.
Yeah. And in school, what was that like? What was that class or that, you know?
No, the exam was related to my actual job, like my day job, which is a dentist. It was basically upgrading my license, and it's a good thing for me. You know, 100%. It's something that will benefit me in the future, now or in even like far future. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just my brain cannot make the space.
Yeah.
So I would get calls from my mom, and she's like following up, and she's like, "Oh, so how's the studying going? Are you studying right now?" Da 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 da. I'm like, "Not really. I'm just taking a short break." And she's like, "What's the short break? Like, you're just chilling around?" I'm like, "No, I'm just preparing yeast to make focaccia, which is like an Italian type of bread." And she's like, "Okay."
It's like,
and then we sat together a few times, or like we're revising questions and stuff, and she goes like, And I can't sit straight for like a good...
Yeah.
Because she goes like, "Okay, let's sit for 2 hours. Like, this is a time." And I'm like...
This was torture for me, man. That was torture. Like, in school, I could never sit for...
Yeah, and then I was like, "Listen, I need to tell you something." And she's like, "What is it?" And I'm like, "This is something that I might have. You as my mother, knowing me my entire life, you can look back at the events, at everything that has happened throughout my life.
Yeah.
You always found me rebellious. You always found me going against everything you said. But there might be a reason behind all of that."
Yeah.
Simple task. So I grew up in Canada for some of my life, where I would have to do some government documents.
Mm.
And I would do them, and then I have to send them to my dad. So he proofreads and then sends it again. And he sends it back, and he's like, "How can you miss this like simple detail? Like, it's just a number." And I'm like, "Oh, my bad. Like, let me go back again and like redo it." And in my head, I'm like, "Okay, like, am I stupid?
Yeah.
Like, am I stupid? Like, how can I miss this? Like, I've done this, for example, before, or like, you know." And then I was reading an article, I think, like just a general article about ADHD, and it literally just explained, like, if you do not have interest in that topic or in that task that you're doing, you're gonna make simple mistakes, the silliest mistakes that you usually don't do. If this same task wasn't something that you're interested in, you will outperform it.
100%.
I did think for a while, I was like, okay, maybe it's procrastination. Like I have media projects where I'm like, okay, my due date is like next week, and I leave it like literally 2 days before the day before, and then I'll produce something super nice, you know. Or there are days when I'm like, okay, this project is going to be hella cool. The edit is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I shoot, I come home, and the video next morning, the client has the video, and they're like, "Wait, what? You told us like you're going to give us you're going to give it in a few days." I'm like, "Yeah, well, this came out." And it's like no feedback.
Exactly.
So it can't be procrastinated.
It really isn't. And it goes back to what you're saying before, which is, again, you always need to find that one thing that you're super passionate about, because at the end of the day, I've heard a lot from my parents, which is, if you do something that you don't enjoy, you'll never succeed in it.
Yeah.
And
funny enough, this is what we grew up on.
Yeah.
Do what you love and love what you do.
Ma'anno, I think you've had an interesting life, which I think, you know, you and I think along with a lot of other people, which is the idea of once you want to get into university, your degree is either... Even if you don't like it, it's either engineer, doctor. What was it? Engineer, doctor.
That's it. Maybe a lawyer.
Lawyer.
Yeah.
But luckily
depends on the demographic.
Exactly. But lucky enough, it worked out well for you. Yeah. I mean, you're doing something that you like, and it's, especially now with your side hobby, it's going pretty well. So, yeah, that's awesome. But I think there's one thing that I did want to
Your parents were saying, if you're not going to do something that you love, you're not going to do it.
And the thing is, like, I've realized this specific point in a few points in my life, in things like sports, in things like, the problem is that it happens in very short bursts. So I feel it for like a good 4 weeks, and then it dies out, and then it comes back after a time, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Things like sports, things like creating, you know, my own posts, my own content, my own whatever it is, I just find a lot of passion in it for a short period of time, and then I take a break.
Yeah.
Then you
just start projects and yeah.
Start, stop. But I'm proud of what comes out of it.
Yeah. I mentioned my friend who had a podcast where we sat down and I told you we were just like throwing ideas and it's the same thing. Like I realized the person in front of me is sitting and like saying the exact same things and he's a musician. He's a photographer, he's a videographer, he's I don't know what. And I'm like, crap, like I'm the same thing. Like I would like to put my own curtains up. I would like to put my own TV up. I will do all these things on my own. And at first I was like, okay, maybe because I grew up in a house where my dad did everything on his own, you know?
Yeah.
But like I have this tendency where I'm like, okay, for example, in my balcony I have, by the way, for anyone wondering, this setup is in my house.
Yeah.
A lot of guests don't realize. They always think I have a studio.
By the way, I didn't even realize that either until you told me it was in my house. I was like, what? Hold on, wait a minute. I didn't know that. Okay.
So one of the things is I built a wall planter and I have this thing where I visualize things all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I see this thing. I want to make it. And I made that. And like, I find a lot of things on Pinterest. I'm like, okay, I want to make this.
Yeah, with inspiration, yeah.
I have a monitor riser. If you've seen those, they put them on top of their desk.
Yeah.
I'm like, why buy one, spend one? Let me see if I can find a DIY video and just follow it word to word. I do tend to get cocky though, where I'm like, okay, I don't need to finish the video. I can do the rest on my own. And that's where the mistakes happen. And I don't mind it, you know?
Yeah.
I made a monitor riser from scratch, bought all the material, bought all the tools, did it sitting on my desk. But it does reach a point like we don't realize it, end up being drained without realizing.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think especially because you know when you have a lot of things to do in your life and you have a lot of different hobbies for a lot of different things, you end up, as you said, you burn out at some point in which you're like, okay, I need to do this. But you're passionate about all of them, but it's like, which one do I pick first? And then if you don't pick the other one, it's like, but do I not like that? Then you start to overthink it and they start to doubt it, which happens, I think, to a lot of people, myself included. But again, I think what I was saying to you earlier, like, I feel it's always good to do one thing, perfect that one thing, and then move on to the next. Don't do 100 things.
I wish it was as easy as we
said. Oh, it isn't easy, of course.
Yeah.
But
especially coming from two guys that know
who have ADHD and are super hyperactive.
I started paddle last year, winter, I think.
Okay.
Bought the paddles. I bought two, one for me, one for my wife. My wife never came. I'm still trying to get her to play. Bought the paddles, would book, push all my friends to go. Now, my friends are running after me to go, but I'm not finding the time, you know? So, as I mentioned, like, I was trying to get diagnosed, and it's just everybody knows therapy is expensive.
It is. Yeah.
But a piece of advice you could find, it doesn't, if it's not about ADHD, by the way, you can find online therapy. I have a friend who does it. I think it's around 100 per hour,
which I think is
very reasonable. Just to keep your sanity, 100 times is nothing.
But I think, because something that I always try to preach across anyone I speak to, so I'm not Gandhi, by the way, so just everyone keep this in mind. But I think the main thing, because as you mentioned, therapy is quite expensive for a lot of people. And I think beyond online therapy, it takes time. It takes a lot of awareness, but journaling, like that's something that's helped me massively. Like I've done it for the past 2 weeks and every time I go and I read it after, I'm like, man, wow. Mm. Like there's a lot happening in here and a lot of feelings in here and it's coming out in the wrong ways. A lot of times I'd be, you know, for example, like if I had a small situation at work, it'd be on my mind for like four days out of the five.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And it affects how I'm dealing with things, how I talk overall, to people exactly. Yeah. But then what I started to realize is the more I write about it, the more I actually realize, not belittling your situations, but you realize that a lot of things are very they're very avoidable and solvable in the sense of, you know, once you realize what your triggers are, you can start to identify ways in which, okay, you know what, I can avoid that.
Yeah.
This I can avoid. Maybe this I can deal with it in a better way. And even something that I've learned with time is, and I think maybe I think we've both had this growing up, which is we always blame ourselves for things that don't happen or don't go our way. Yeah.
In a way, for, like, it's like, where did I do wrong? You start what did I do wrong? Back
when you compare yourself to others, you're like, oh, but they're doing that, but I'm doing.
Yeah.
Another thing is try talking to people about it. Like try to establish, you know, a very open,
a safe space, let's say a safe friend.
A safe friend, or even, yani, even with people around you, yani, yeah. Even people who I don't know,
yeah,
really don't know,
yeah.
But I make it a point to be super transparent with them, so that one, my feelings and thoughts are getting across, mm-hmm. but two, that they feel a sense of, okay, you know what, there's a sense of a safe space being built,
yeah,
even if it's out of, you know, out of nowhere. But second of all, even if something is, you know, like, let's say, for example, let's say you tell me, I don't know, you're so, like, say something bad to me.
Yeah.
What I usually try to do, and I learned this recently, which is something I've never done in my life, is to confront people, not confront people, but talk to them about it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, man, I didn't like how you said that. I felt it was a bit unnecessary.
This is something I'm still sort of struggling with. My friends know me as someone who's very straightforward, but I have issues when it comes to someone I don't know.
Yeah. But why do you think that is?
I don't know.
So as I ask you the question,
word of a first impression, or like that thing sticks on them, or they think this is my personality, or like take it a wrong way, yeah. Or like there are so many
there's collective so many avenues. Reasons. And the main thing I think it falls on is that we always try to please people.
Yeah.
We've never, and if you think about it, Nahna, the way we've grown as people throughout the test of time, we've always been surviving. We've never been, yani, we've always tried to protect ourselves so that we don't go extinct in some sort of philosophical way. And this is what it means here, is that we're trying to not make a bad impression on others so that we still keep those bonds.
You don't end up alone as well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is why even you realize it, like when you talk to anybody, like your first instinct is to always be nice.
Your words.
Exactly.
And step on eggshell.
Because you never know how that's going to go. Yeah. And again, something else I'm realizing now, which is try to, and again, it's something we always heard of growing up, and I've never done it, but I've never thought about it as much as I do now, which is always try to, you know, be the person that you would want to be on the receiving end of.
Yeah.
So for example, if I'm talking to me, I want to hear nice things. I want to, you know, have a good conversation, not to feel like, okay, this guy's belittling me or whatever it is. So come in. It's also about what energy you're spreading across to the world.
My thing is, it's also, you need to learn the way of delivering.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, don't get the wrong idea, guys. Don't just go telling people things.
Definitely.
You need to know the way to deliver it. I think that's my other issue as well. Like, for example, I told you the story of wanting to tell someone something that I don't know how they're going to take it.
Mm.
So my personality completely diverts into someone that I don't know, just to make sure that person doesn't get it the wrong way.
Yeah.
The media of delivering the message also matters,
super
of course.
Important.
So these are one of the things. If we can go back to the journal part.
Mm.
So therapy is expensive. Maybe we can give the listeners tips
and tricks
on how to journal, basically. Like, sorry. What does it, like, how do you start it? What do you write in it? Is it everything? Is it what comes to your mind? Is it about how you feel? About a situation that happened to you throughout the day? About something that's been bothering you for a while? A task that you're not managing to finish? I don't know. Do you date it? Do you time it?
So for me, look, in general, I always, and again, I think with us, we know that there's never a right or wrong way. We've always done things our way, and they've always somehow worked out the way that we see them to work. So again, for me, there's no right or wrong way. But what I usually do is I try to put my mind on a paper and my feelings on a paper. Or actually, I lied, on my laptop, in which I just literally write.
Whichever you're comfortable with. Some people like the textile sensation of a paper.
By the way, like my best friend in university, I made the link now. Like, so he used to write a lot of poetry.
Yeah.
Or like rap songs, you know. Yeah. But I would never know why he would do it.
Yeah.
And for him, that's his mode of expression.
And became his outlet.
Exactly. Yeah. Mine is talking but also writing. And writing doesn't need to be in a story form. It's just, you know what, yeah, I woke up today, I felt pretty tired. I walked into work, I felt so anxious, I felt...
Yeah, it's just letting whatever. It out, yeah.
Letting it out, but also one thing that I've really learned is unfiltering.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just... Write whatever nothing, it is. Yeah,
there's no one to please, there's no one, no one to because take the end care of, the day, of it, emotions.
Then it's what you're feeling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these feelings are true and they're normal to have. So, anyway, I always think about it, you know, when you start to comment on or judging actually what you're writing, you're sort of putting your feelings and thoughts aside. You're like, you know what, that's not important. No, but that is important.
Yeah.
So even if I'm ashamed to say something, I'll write it anyway. Yeah. Like no one's going to read it. And if someone reads it, great. That's a good story for you.
Yeah.
You know, like you've seen a part of me that probably no one's seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is the very important part that I think is the common point to the mental health discussion,
mm-hmm.
which is being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Which is something that I haven't seen very often.
A lot of people, yeah.
And hala akid, it's growing with time. People are becoming a lot more woke, as we said.
Yeah.
But this idea of truly being vulnerable and truly being honest and open and just not, you know,
overthinking caring. What you're
overthinking.
Gonna
say. Yeah. Just yeah. say it as it is.
Yeah. You Funny know? Enough, you mentioned yeah. the poetry thing.
Yeah.
So I'm a person who's very adaptable. Like you cannot understand, I cannot emphasize it enough as well. I wrote poetry for a while.
I need to read this if you don't mind.
I can't find anything. Fuck. I can't find any of it. That's the issue. I don't know where I wrote it. I had it on my phone, but it was like on notes and I think I got deleted. I went through this phase with a group of friends. I'm still friends with some of them where there was an open mic event. So I kept attending and I'm like watching and there, some of them are very big now. Like some of them are rappers, some of them are still poets and they're growing. But I just felt like I want to go through that and I want to try it. And I wrote, I think 3 to 4 pieces.
Okay.
Okay, one of them was really good. That was about myself.
Okay.
And it felt really good to stand in front of a crowd, just let it out, you know. A few of them were about like relationships and like past relationships and these kind of things. But the one about me was very like it hit home, let's say. So I'm just remembering now, like I was like, oh, damn, I wrote for a while as well. But then some time passed and I tried to get back into it.
No.
It's gone.
It wasn't the same. And by the way, actually, funnily enough, so Anna, in my last like year or so in university, so I tried to follow that similar path in which I write my poetry, I write a bit of rap, and I used to love it, but
anytime... The shoe didn't fit?
Yeah, like anytime I try, I'm like, no, I can't. And what I've realized is that I was trying to fit myself in a medium that probably just I don't fit in.
Yeah.
I tried to force fit something that I just don't feel
that's,
super passionate
I think
about.
That's another branch of what I mentioned earlier where I want to know and try everything.
Yeah.
Because, for example, let's give an example. Like my friend, I told you, the guy with the podcast, Chris, he's a musician, again, photographer, videographer. And I have the tendency to want to know how this person feels doing these things.
Mm.
And I used to play the guitar back in high school because I had a guitar class and kept the guitar for a while. Then I stopped. And then now I'm like, okay, I want to pick up on something and be consistent with it. Maybe I should go buy a set of electric guitar.
I think you should. I think this is your calling.
And my wife was like, no, stop.
It's going to be like noise pollution in the house. No.
She's like, no, you need to like finish things first and then... jump into other things. But I'm constantly thinking of other things. Like I bought a Super Mac Studio and I was like, oh, maybe I should learn 3D rendering. I started with it, kind of got blocked off because my brain was just not in that place where I'm focusing. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it some other time.
Yeah.
But the whole thing goes back to me wanting to know what this person's life is like. Mm. This is... Again, mentioning it again from another episode, as I told you, I think I subconsciously started this to realize how people go throughout their life.
Yeah.
And it's going well.
No, and by the way, and like as we said, like to me, podcasting really is two people getting to know each other and it's being filmed in a cool setup.
Yeah.
But I think what you're doing is quite interesting because you're, you know, I mean, look, you seem to be a very curious guy, so that's always good. And again, I think everyone has their own means of doing things. Yours is in podcasting, which is how you want to get to know people. Some people do it by going, I don't know, to the gym and literally talking to people, or people, I don't know, write and then they release and see how people react. Yours is very interesting, which is growing a lot here over here. But there's actually one thing that it's been on my mind since the minute I walked in the doors, and I was like, I need to ask this question. Yeah. So, okay, so you're an Arab man.
Yeah.
What's your message to all men in the Arab world in general? And there's no right or wrong, by the way. It's just because I think about it a lot, which is we all have a story. We all have a message, but we never share this message. We never talk about the story. So what's one thing?
I'll tell you something, which I mentioned earlier to you before the recording. Me realizing things. Like, for example, having kids. I didn't grow up in the worst way. I was brought up in a very good house. I had everything provided to me, but there were some parts that I wish were different. There was a saying that goes like, don't teach your kids, or like, don't raise your kids the same way you were brought up. You know, and I strongly believe in that it terrifies me to have my own kids. Like, I'm not ready, not because financially is part of it, but I'm not mentally there.
Yeah.
And I think the message should be, if there were things you were not happy with as a kid, and you start to realize it, dig deeper. I think these things, when they get unraveled, they'll change your life.
Yeah.
It will change your life from the sense, like you said, for example, for you, writing and reading it later on will make you realize this is the same story. This is the same exact thing. You're going to unravel your memories. Look back at them. There was, how to say it, a cause and a reaction.
Yep.
But it just got buried deep down, and then it just got to grow and grow and grow as we grow older and older.
100%, yeah.
And then this feeds back into your daily life.
Yeah.
Whether be it with your partner, whether be it with your kids, work colleagues. I think work on what I'm going to call them now, knots. Unravel these knots of your childhood. Unravel these knots of things that you grew up with, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's mainly as an Arab guy, let's say. There's no such thing. Like, let's get over the whole, oh, the West started this. I'm on it. I'm with it. There are some things that don't make sense, but there are things that make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Again, you cannot talk about going to therapy, especially in front of the older generations. Yeah. Some of our generations also just went numb, decided, okay, my parents' life is my life. I'll be the same.
Yeah.
They would react differently as well. I have one of my very, very close friends just casually goes like, okay, Friday, let's go to the beach. She's like, okay, but I have therapy at 3 p.m. Very normal for me.
Yeah.
I did not, because I know how he is. I know this is helping him. There is nothing else to it. I'm not going to say this guy is sick. He's mentally ill. I'm not going to say, no, this guy saw that he needed help. He understood that he needed help. And he went and seeked help.
Seek support, yeah.
You know? And this is where I think there's no shame in seeking help, you know?
Yeah.
Going back to the point where you said our main issue is being vulnerable. Again, this goes back to the whole, history of humanity. How men are portrayed, how men are brought up, how men are told to be, you know. So feeling weak is not an option for men. You know what I mean? You know the saying that goes like, nice guys finish last. That's another thing of people thinking, if I'm vulnerable, I'm not going to get what I want. I'm not, like, and I have this other thing I've always thought about. You are never born bad.
100%. 100%.
You just choose to because being vulnerable again.
By the way, this was exactly the point I wanted to get to.
Not an option, you know? But then day by day, you realize you're just building, I'm going to say that out loud, it's just shit piling up inside.
شوف هي يعني أنا to me
you're getting to a point where it stinks.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It stinks and you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the biggest thing that, okay, there's a few things. The first thing is, I think you rightly so mentioned it, don't be ashamed of your childhood.
Yeah.
And fix the inner child.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a podcast I was watching like 6-7 months ago, and this guy, he's in the States, he's a really big figure called Lewis Howes, and basically he was sexually assaulted at like 6-7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger kid in him didn't know what to make of it, as a lot of us who, you know, have certain situations that we just don't know how to process them.
Yeah.
And what he started doing is he started to actually unpack what everything, this actually yeah. did to him. And what he's done is very interesting. So his wallpaper is a picture of a younger him.
Mm.
So every time he looks at it, he looks at it as, I'm looking down at my younger self who didn't know what to do. He was vulnerable, but he didn't know, but he figured it out.
Yeah.
And this to me is the most empowering thing in the world. Because when you realize that, you know what, I've lived X amount of years and I've had a lot of stuff happening, but you know what, I've made through it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and this to me is the first important part. The second one is, shit. No, it was, anyways, I'll remember it.
Yeah, but I think the first step is recognizing.
Yeah.
And being aware of the situation.
Yeah.
And that's that sentence, I kept hearing it from a lot of people. Every time I bring up how I was brought up and how, let's say, my dad did things with me or... not did things with me, like...
Yeah, like it's like certain situations.
How I was dealt with in specific situations, whether it being me, my studies, my way of doing things. Like I smoked at an early age, like the way he dealt with it and stuff, these kind of things. I don't smoke anymore, guys. Smoking is bad.
Not even IQOS. Do you smoke IQOS?
Just occasionally.
It's okay. It's fine.
Not even IQOS, just the flavor, the vape stuff. Okay. But anyways, when I mention it to people, they're like, okay, let's stop you right there. Seeking help is not the first step. Getting therapy is not the first step. The first step that you've already achieved is realizing what you've been through, realizing how you don't want, for example, your kids to go through that. Then help comes second. You know what I mean? First of all, someone can call it out for you. It's possible as well, I believe. But you realizing it is the main first step. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. So I think there's another step just before getting help, is the willingness to get help.
Yeah.
So you need to be truly on board with, you know what, whatever's going to come my way, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be, some of it won't even be fun.
Yeah.
It's not a one day thing. It's not a 1 month thing. It's probably going to be.
You'll unravel a lot of things. You'll realize a lot of things. You'll realize why things happen in a specific way.
Yeah.
You'll look back and like, for example, your therapist will say something like, oh shit, like this situation could have gone differently if my life was different. But you know what I mean? But like, yeah, I get your point. Yeah. And so self-realization, then committing to actually looking and seeking for help.
So, and I think that's one of the more important things. And the second thing as well is reframing how we see our experiences in life.
Yeah.
And this has been, it's crazy because I saw this post today, which was, we usually always say, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Someone said it as, what's the best that can happen? We always tend to think negative first.
Yeah.
So start to reframe it. And even in other things, like, you know, you live your life and something happens to you, it's a bit annoying. You're like, man, it's going to be a bad day because this and this happened. But why is it going to be a bad day? You have so many other things to be. I'll
find this post as well. You reminded me. I saw this today. So it's very relevant to the topic. Basically, let me find it. And I was like, this is me. Basically, it says, sometimes you're so focused on the future that you don't realize you're in the middle of what you used to pray for.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
So that's another thing. And there's another one where it goes like, the best, your worst enemy is yourself.
Because we're our biggest critics.
Yeah. So this is the thing. Like, I've been married for 2 years now. 2 years in August. Nice. Happily married. And on a daily basis, I wake up and I'm like, I'm not doing enough. So this goes back to like being negative. Like, what's the worst that can happen?
But do you think you're not doing enough, quote unquote, compared to there's what no you comparison. See around? Or is it like a subconscious thought?
There is slight comparison, but I think as well, okay, this is kind of too unraveling. So when I grew up in a house that I always felt what I'm doing is not enough. Like on a weekend, it's a weekend. You went through school, what is it?
Yep.
5 days a week. Mm. And then the weekend comes, you're a kid, you're supposed to relax. No, I had to be awake by 9 a.m. 10 a.m., 11 was an issue. You need to wake up, do something. You get what I mean? That yeah. It developed a habit in me. My brain cannot be free. Yeah. My brain cannot, I cannot just sit on the couch, watch TV without thinking 10 times, am I supposed to be doing something else more productive?
Yeah.
When you could just literally be sitting. And this came to me looking back at how my weekends were like as a child.
Mm.
So I think as well, me thinking I'm not doing enough throughout my life, but like, you've come to my house. Mm. You just met me. I told you I have two jobs, basically. And would you think that someone that is not doing
nope.
enough?
Nope.
So.
Yeah. Look, and again, I think there's a very big part of it. I think the first thing is what we see around us, like on social media, man. You open it every day. It's like a kid who's 15 made $20 million doing something, and then he has a side hustle, and then he's selling shoes, but then he's also creating his own line. And then you're like, man, but what am I doing? Like, I'm working a 9 to 5, 9 to 6 job, have my own podcast, but that's about it. And it makes you question your own worth and your own value, which doesn't always help. Especially, Kamena, when you look back at as well, like how a lot of people or how people grew up, which is, you know, you're always expected to hustle. You're always expected to be the provider. You're not allowed to sit down. You're not allowed to do this. But sometimes, you know, it's good to, and it's very easy to say it because, you know, in hindsight, everything is easier, but it's always good to remember that, you know what, things are, it's okay if I sit down and I relax. It's okay if I want to have some time off because I need it. I deserve it. And it goes back to, again, this whole idea of positive reinforcement,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And even if you are resting, that's fine. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, the world doesn't end because you've sat down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even for me as a kid, like I was a bit of the opposite. So I would always wake up early,
yeah.
But I'd do nothing. Like mm-hmm. My parents would tell me like, oh yeah, you should go and play basketball. You should go and do music. You should go and do martial arts. I'm like, yeah. Man, I don't want to. Like I
was the opposite. Now I'm wishing like my parents did that. You know,
I was totally against it. I was really against it. I mean, I used to do it because I had to. But
yeah.
Looking back, I hated it. And the thing is as well, like, because I was talking about this in therapy a couple of weeks ago, which is this idea of I've never done what I actually wanted to do. I've always been so inclined to just do what people want me to do because I don't want to make people them sad. Pleaser. But reality is I ended up hurting myself. Yeah. In some sort of way. Yeah. Some of these traits still follow me till today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good and bad thing. I don't know. Actually, it's not good or bad. We're figuring it out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Again, I think people need to get out of the whole black and white thing.
Yeah. Because life is never black or white. It's really a big gray area. Because my great day might be your okay day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So to conclude, I think... So we asked this to everybody. You put me on the spot, by the way, with that question.
I had to.
That's the first. I don't want to belittle any of my previous guests, but that was a first time I get put on the spot, and it was really good.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. We usually ask our guests, "What's your most unpopular opinion?"
Most unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Oof.
Where it makes you stand out.
Most
unpopular something you would opinion. Say, and you know, people would be like. I mean, your entire topic, your entire... My
literally, like everything I preach and I try to practice, which people don't reject it. It's just hasn't spread as much as we want it to. Yeah. So that's taking a bit of time. Actually, I'm going to look in the camera for this one. I'll move this. Men, it's really okay to cry. It's really okay to... call up your best friend, guy or girl, whoever it may be, and tell them how you're really feeling. It's all normal. It's all fine. If you do feel a bit vulnerable for one time, nothing bad is going to happen. It makes you more human.
Yeah,
I really think that's it. And actually, I had one, but it's not very unpopular. But anyways.
Go for it.
Oh, no, it's very super unrelated.
Go for it.
Pineapples don't go on pizza. I don't know why. That was the first thought.
That's where we're gonna end the episode. Because
there's a whole. You can just remove this part of the.
No, podcast. I'm half there, halfway there on that topic. Okay. I've tried it. It's not bad. It's not good.
Yeah.
Again, it's a very great area. But yes, thank you so much for.
Man, thank you honestly.
Getting in touch and showing up. We were supposed to record last week, but. Unfortunate event. I
keep forgetting.
Thank you so much for showing up.
Man. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hopefully, and so we'll have you again for sure.
For sure.
More than happy. Or you'll have me.
Me having you is a given. So this is for sure. You having me again, that's a thing we'll need to see with your plans and schedules and stuff, and we'll figure it out.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you so much. See you next episode.